Get the annoying woman out of the way. Yes, already. Okay.
She's abandoned us. Just carry on.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you all for praying for our grandson this week, little Corey, our 11-month-old grandson who violently exploded with chicken pox on whatever day it was, and his temperature went up through the roof, and 111 advised our daughter to call an ambulance. The ambulance never turned up, so Francis took Corey to hospital, and they managed, the doctors got some fluids in him, got his temperature down, and they got home at 10 o'clock in the evening, and just with an acute case of chicken pox, which unfortunately was inside of his mouth as well, which was horrible, but he is much, much better now. He's just got the rashes just healing up and fading away gradually, but really just very, very grateful for your support and your prayers. I know with me being away for the week, Fiona felt very, very supported by the very quick messages of love and support that she received on WhatsApp. So thank you all very much. And I also want to thank you for praying for me and obviously for Suzanne, who was on the conference last week. We had a really good time. We had 18, it was quite a small conference by our normal standards, but we had 18 participants at our Father Heart encounter. And the first thing that struck me was last Saturday night when we started. You know, you get a group of people together, and they don't know each other, they're a little bit shy, you know, and they're trying to get to know each other and that sort of thing. But the thing that really struck me on Saturday night was how well they all got on together. And that made such a difference because their hearts were open and they just began to receive really quickly. And it was just so good to see the Father touching people's hearts, because this revelation that I spend a lot of time talking about and teaching is much, much more than a healing, inner healing ministry. You know, inner healing is part of what we do. But really what we're trying to encourage people to find and to discover for themselves is that they can walk as Jesus walked. They can walk in relationship with the Father like Jesus walked in relationship with the Father. They can know that they are loved. We can know that we are loved in the same way as Jesus is loved. And so when we do these weeks, and I probably do 8 or 9 of these weeks a year, we have two principal aims. One is to give a clear biblical basis for God being a Father. And secondly, to open the door and provide a space for people to experience the love of the Father for themselves. And part of that journey through the week is we deal with some of the stuff in our hearts. And because our heart is so important, isn't it? You know, it's with Romans 10, verse 10 says, with our heart we believe and are saved. Romans 5, verse 5 says, God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And The problem is our heart is so easily wounded. Our heart is so easily hurt. And we end up carrying baggage inside of our heart. And what I want to just talk a little bit about this morning is dealing with the offense that we carry. You know, we have an expectation in relationships, don't we? You know, when we are children, when we are young children, we don't know this, but we have an inborn expectation of what a parent should be. You know, you'd never get a little child to put words to it, but we're all born to be loved. We're all born to receive love. We're all born to live in a secure environment, a safe environment. You know, that's what every child is born for. But, you know, not every child receives that. In fact, no child, none of us receive and live in the perfect environment that we were intended to live in. Because our parents didn't receive it for themselves, you know, and our grandparents didn't receive it. So, you know, however good we are as parents or however good our parents have been, none of us lives in the perfect environment that God the Father intended for us to live in. And I know as a father myself with four kids, you know, it's very easy for me to look at my mistakes and, you know, see what I've done wrong, you know, and the pain that that's caused to my children. You see, none of us had that total safety, that total security that the Father wanted for us. And so very often we experience, particularly as young children, we experience the wounds and the pains, and you know that in a sense creates an offense in our heart. And one of the things we talk about on these weeks, like last week, is how we can deal with that offense. You see, we have expectations in relationships in our family. We have expectations in our relationships at work, don't we? When I was training to be an accountant, when I was a junior trainee, one day in the office, it was a big open plan office. The office was about this size, and there were 20 people all around, you know, desks and everything. And, you know, in all of the four corners, the managers sat at their own. They had, you know, their own desk, their own space. And the rest of us were in blocks of four or six around the room. And on one occasion, the big senior partner, the big boss, he came to me because he knew I was going to a client the next day. And he said, when you go to the client tomorrow, can you get some money off them? They owed us a huge amount of money. They were not very good at, well, they were awful at paying. And the boss said to me, can you get some money? So I said, well, I would ask. And he said, no, you've got to come back with some money. And I said, well, I will ask, you know, because that's all you can do, isn't it? Particularly when you're the junior, you can't sort of go to the director of this client and twist his arm up behind his back and say, you know, the boss says. So I went to that client the next day and I said to the client, I said, my boss would like some money. Well, I'm not going to tell you what that client said, but it was certainly colourful. And the general impression of what he said was no. And you can tell your boss what I think of him and where he can go. So I went back to work the next day and I sat at my desk, and halfway through the morning, the big boss, the senior partner, comes around and he says to me, where's the money? And I said, well, he wouldn't give me any. And he then said, well, what did he say? And I decided wisdom, probably not a good idea to tell the boss what the client had said. So I said, well, he just said he wasn't going to give you any money. And at that moment, the boss just started laying into me. You know, he was very angry. He was obviously under a lot of pressure, the cash flow, the business, our business wasn't very good at the time. And, you know, he was obviously, he just put all his pressure onto me in public in this great big room of, you know, 20 or so people. And, you know, he was shouting and he was just going at me, you know, and I was kind of like shrinking into my little, you know, I was quite shy. I mean, still am really in some ways, but he was, you know, I was kind of trying to hide. Everybody else in the room, you know, they were sort of either on the phone or head down, writing away furiously. And eventually he went out and you could feel like everybody in the room breathed a sigh of relief, like, whew. And one of the managers got up from his corner and he came over to me and he wasn't a Christian, but he put his hand on my shoulder and said, Mark, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. But, you know, we have expectations in the workplace. And I think it's fair to say that we, you know, one of the expectations we have is to be treated with respect and to be treated fairly. And, you know, that morning, I wasn't. And it would have been very, very easy to carry an offence in my heart about that. But I didn't. I was able to let it go. The reason I think I was able to let it go is because when I was 10 years old, and some of you will know this, but when I was 10 years old, my dad was killed in a car accident on the road out of Whitney towards North Lee. He was going to work one morning, and you know that little brow of the hill on that road as you go towards, just by North Lee? He was just going over the brow of that hill, and the van was coming up the other way, overtaking a lorry. And they had a head-on collision, and my dad was killed in that car accident. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that day, of course, you know, my mum lost her husband. The four of us, me and my three sisters, we lost our dad. But one of the things that happened over the following months and following years is my mum taught us as kids to forgive. She taught us to let go. You see, that guy, he made a mistake. He didn't get up in the morning that day, 18th of October, 1971. He didn't get up that morning and think, I'm going to kill someone today. You know, he didn't have any intention of doing that. He made a mistake. You know, he thought he could overtake this lorry and get back in time, but he didn't. You know, and that mistake, you know, it cost us a lot. But I think it cost him a lot as well. See, he may still be alive. He'd probably be in his 80s now. He may still live in Whitney or in this area. And he may drive along that road, like I drive along that road. And whenever I drive along that road, there's something in my heart that wants to bless him. And I drive along that road. I don't know his name, but I just pray a blessing on him. And I've done that for years because I don't want him to have to carry the guilt, the shame, the condemnation of that mistake he made over 50 years ago. And for years, I've just gone along that road and just prayed a blessing on him. Because I imagine every time he drives along that road, he remembers. He remembers the mistake he made that morning. And he remembers, you know, what that cost us as a family. And I don't want him to have to carry that weight in his heart. You know, I want him to be free. And I'm just so grateful that my mum taught me that. You know, and I really believe when I sat in the office those years ago, when I was a young trainee accountant, I was able to let the offence go towards my boss. And I didn't carry anything in my heart towards him. It's not just that we bear a grudge, but it's that we carry the offence. You know, we've been hurt. It's like someone's thrown an arrow into our heart. And we've been hurt, and we carry that offence. And that, if we do that, and, you know, that can build up offence after offence after offence, incident after incident after incident. It can build up in our heart, and it's one of the biggest blockages for us walking and living in the freedom that the Father wants us to live in and walk in. And, you know, if we don't deal with that, those offences, and I'm talking about things that can go right back to childhood. You know, last week I was talking to people, they were carrying things in their heart that they'd carried since childhood. You know, one person said to me, I have murderous thoughts in my heart towards my dad. Now, when he told me what his dad had done, you know, part of me kind of understands it. But actually, you know, Jesus said, if you carry the murderous thoughts in your heart, it's as good as committing murder, isn't it? And, you know, just to be able to see people like that come to a place where they can let it go. And, you know, we can carry the offence from people at work. We can carry offence from people in our families. We can carry offence from people in the church. And all of these things become like a weight in our heart that stop us walking and living in the freedom that the Father wants us to walk in and live in. And I want to take a few moments looking at a very well-known story in Matthew chapter 18. Because this is a story that Jesus tells, and it teaches us, it shows us how to let go of the offense so that we can be free. Because that's really what I believe the Father wants for us. He wants us to walk in freedom, not just in freedom, but he wants us to walk in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, Romans 8 says, creation is groaning with eager anticipation and waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And it's as we become free and as we can begin to walk as Jesus walked, so there's going to be that revelation of sons and daughters on the earth that will change creation around us. And one of the key ways I believe that we can become free is to let go of the offense that we're harboring in our heart. This is the story, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to the end of the chapter, where Peter comes to Jesus and asks him a question. Now, I don't think Peter is asking Jesus a question in order to receive a theological explanation. See, we know enough about Peter, don't we? He was hot-headed, quick-tempered, he opened his mouth and put his foot in it. He was the guy who just reacted. So I think when he's asking this question, he's not asking for a theological explanation, but he's asking for an answer that's going to affect his life and affect his heart. And he comes to Jesus and he says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Now, his brother was, we don't know the backstory to this, but his brother was Andrew. And Andrew, whenever you read about Andrew in the Gospels, he's always the disciple who seems to do everything right. You know, he brings people to Jesus, he finds the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you know, he's kind of there just facilitating things, and it's all kind of nice and easy. You know, a really frustrating sort of brother to have, that kind of guy, isn't it? You know, and here's Peter, you know, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And I think Peter is being really generous in his response here. You know, is 7 times enough? And Jesus says, well, actually, no, not even 77 times. And I kind of imagine poor old Peter felt like, oh no, what's Jesus going to say now? Because when, you know, Jesus always goes to the heart of the matter, and he always goes to our hearts. And so he tells a story. Jesus tells a story in response to Peter's question. And in this story, there are 2 particular characters. There's the king and the servant. So we got Peter who's asking a question, how do I forgive? How do I let go? And Jesus tells this story about a king and a servant. And in this story, it's the king who is able to forgive. It's the king that's able to let go, and the servant who's not able to let go. And so this story is not really about Jesus forgiving our sins, although it's often interpreted that way. This story is told to Peter about how Peter can forgive his brother or his sister. So this is a story principally about how we forgive other people. And what Jesus wants us to do is put ourselves in the position of the king, because the king is the one who forgives, whereas the servant, as we will see in a few moments, is the one who is unable to forgive. And we know the story. The story, Jesus says, is it's the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And the man, this servant, was unable to pay. So the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees and said, be patient and I will pay back everything. There's no way this servant could repay the debt. You know, 10,000 bags of gold was a debt that was absolutely impossible. There was no way it could be repaid. And here's the servant saying, give me a chance to repay it. And the king realizes that it's absolutely impossible. It cannot be done. And the king, the servant's master, took pity and had compassion on the servant, and he cancelled the debt and let him go. There are three things that the king does in this story. The first one is he wants to settle accounts with his servants. So he has to know what each servant owes him. You know, he has to know what the debt is. And Jesus is saying, unforgiveness is like a debt that we're hanging on to that we hope will be repaid. You know, as I said, we have these expectations in relationships. Sometimes they're unspoken, sometimes they're unwritten, but in our hearts we have expectations that are unfulfilled. And what happens is we hang on to that in the hope of getting our expectations fulfilled. Jesus describes it later on in the story as holding the other person by the throat and choking him. And that's what it's like when we don't forgive. If we don't forgive, if we're unable to let go of the offense that's in our heart, it's like we're holding on to this other person and shaking them and saying, you know, repay me, give me back what you owe me. And they can't do it. See, that van driver who was driving that van when he had the car accident with my dad, there's nothing he can do to put it right. There's absolutely nothing he can do to put it right. He cannot repay our family for what he stole on that day. It's just impossible. But if I don't forgive him, if I don't let it go, I'm holding on to him by the throat, saying, give me back, give me back, give me back. And of course he can't. There's nothing he can do. And, you know, when we come to forgive, when we come to let go, we have to understand, quantify in a way, you know, what has been taken from us. You know, very occasionally at work, we would have a client who would not pay us. You know, the business wasn't doing well or something. And, you know, every month we would get a list of how much all our clients owed us. And it got to the stage occasionally when just maybe a client couldn't pay us, and we wrote the debt off. And the next month when we got our list of all the clients' names and all the amounts, that client wasn't on the list because we'd written it off. And as far as we were concerned, they didn't owe us anything. But before we could write it off, we had to count the cost. You know, are we prepared to forego that £1,000 or whatever? You know, are we prepared to let it go and never have it? You know, and we have to count the cost and say, yes, I'm never going to get that back. But we have to know what we're letting go of. That's the first thing. The second thing is when we realize that there's nothing that other person can do, like that van driver, there's nothing he can do, nothing he could do. What the king did was had compassion and pity on him. And I think that's the hardest thing. Because the third thing he does is he cancels the debt and lets him go. And I don't think we can cancel the debt and let other people go if we don't have compassion on them, if we don't have pity on them. And that's particularly, I think, we become particularly aware of that when we're looking at issues involving our parents and our family. It's like there was a loss, maybe in childhood, maybe in growing up, maybe in our teenage years, there was a loss. And there's nothing our parents can do about it now. They may be dead, but there's nothing they can do. And when we have compassion and pity on them, What we're saying is, we're not excusing them, but what we're saying is we're recognizing that they didn't receive the love that they needed. Because their grandparents, you know, our grandparents didn't receive the love they needed. And so it's, you know, they were broken and they were not able to give us what we needed. You know, my boss was broken and he couldn't give me what I needed. You know, that day when he was shouting at me and losing his temper and, you know, for something that was not my fault at all. You know, somehow he'd never learned to control that temper or whatever and just reacted in that way. And something in me, when that was happening and just after it happened, something in me, there was a compassion and a pity in my heart towards him. You know, it's like when Jesus said on the cross, you know, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And there's almost that sense in us, it's like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing because they can't do it another way. And I think this is the hardest area. The hardest thing is if we have to let go, if we have to forgive, is coming to a place and having compassion and sorrow and pity for the other person. And because of that compassion, not wanting to see them in prison, we let them go. See, I think that's what my mum showed us as kids for this van driver was, you know, that guy was, you know, he could have spent, maybe he, I don't know, he could spend the rest of his life in a prison, not a literal prison, but a prison in his heart because of what he'd done. You know, he could have lived with the guilt of that. You know, he could have lived with the shame of that. He could have lived with the overwhelming sorrow of that mistake he made. But I hope as we were able to set him free in our hearts, he found freedom in his heart. And he didn't have to suffer that guilt, that anguish. You know, that's what I long for him, is that he was not trapped in a prison that he made for himself because of the mistake he made. And so when we're thinking about what is in our heart, what is the offense that we're carrying, whether it's towards brothers and sisters in the church or colleagues at work or in people in our family, maybe not our immediate family, but in our wider families, it's like, what is the offense that we're carrying? And how can we let it go? And the keys, I think, are given as we look at the king. Counting the cost, recognizing that it will never be repaid, having compassion and sorrow on the other person, and then releasing them from our heart. That's how Jesus tells Peter to forgive. He said, Peter, you know, it doesn't matter whether you do it once or 100 times. But until you forgive like this, you've not truly forgiven. At the end of the story, Jesus concludes, he says, you know, this is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive from your heart. You see, the process the king went through, and that's the process that he teaches Peter, and he therefore teaches us, is, you know, you can do this once and know you've forgiven from your heart. You can forgive from your head for 100 times, but you'll still carry the offense because you haven't forgiven from your heart. And Jesus said, it's not about the number of times you say, I forgive you, but it's what's going on in your heart. And your heart has to come to that place of letting go. When our kids were young, you know, I mean, you've probably all done this, but when our kids were young, if one of them did something to offend another one, you know, we would say to the one who'd committed the crime, you know, say sorry. And they would come and go, I'm sorry. And then the other one would go, I forgive you, you know, and then they would go off and play again. I'm pretty sure, talking to them now, that they were neither sorry nor forgiving. They just wanted to go out and play again. because, you know, but they just knew if they said to us, I'm sorry, I forgive you, you know, they could go and play. But there wasn't anything going on in their heart at that particular moment in time. And what Jesus is trying to do through this story is to say, I want you to have a heart encounter where you can really let something go and no longer carry the offense. Because if you're unable to do that, you're like the servant. The servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, and he grabbed him by the throat and choked him and said, give me back what you owe me. And the servant couldn't do it, so he ended up getting thrown in prison. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told the king what had happened. And the master called the first servant back in and said, I cancelled the debt you owed me. Couldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? And that first servant was ended up being thrown in prison because he couldn't forgive. And that's what happens to us in our hearts if we can't forgive. If we can't let go, we end up in a prison of our own making. And Jesus tells this story. He says to Peter, Peter, if you can be like the king, then you'll find freedom. Your heart will be free. But if you live like the servant, then you'll be in prison. If you carry the offense, you will be the one who's in prison. But if you can let it go, you will be free. And that other person might find freedom too. You see, we want mercy for ourselves, but we want justice for the other person. And what Jesus is teaching Peter here is if you want mercy for yourself, you've got to give mercy to the other person and let them go. I just want to finish by telling you a story of a friend of mine, which I've got permission to share. But she was, she's a Dutch lady, and she has been in Uganda. She had been in Uganda for a number of years. But when she was growing up, her father had a lot of mental health problems. And he couldn't help it. He had a huge mental health problems that were not recognized way back in those days, not diagnosed, not treated. And he treated his children, particularly his daughters, very, very badly. And my friend ended up being a missionary in Uganda and went on a school and ministry for 2 or 3 weeks in Kenya. And during that school and ministry, she was challenged to forgive. And it was a real, real struggle for her to forgive. She felt like she'd said the words hundreds of times, but yet she knew in her heart she was still carrying this offense. And eventually she got to a point in that school and ministry where she could forgive her dad, where she was able to be like the king and have compassion on him and let him go. And she felt like a weight was lifted out of her heart when she did that. It was beautiful. She said she felt free. She really felt a freedom she'd never felt in her whole life. And she went back to Uganda, and a couple of weeks later, she phoned her mum in the Netherlands, and they were just chatting, and her mum said, oh, I've got to tell you something. Your dad's really changed. He's become much softer, much kinder. There's something completely different about him. And my friend said to her mum, when did this happen? It was the exact day that she forgave him. See, that's the power of forgiveness. You know, we find freedom, but sometimes the other person finds freedom. And when my friend forgave her dad, he changed. And a few months later, she was back in the Netherlands. They had a big family party. Now, her mum came from a huge family, one of 13. And her dad didn't have many siblings on his side of the family. And the mum's brothers and sisters never really liked the dad because he had mental health problems. They didn't understand him. So they kind of never really accepted him into the wider family. And while they had this family party, one of the uncles one of my friend's uncles on the mother's side, said to my friend, you know, what do you, you know, you've told us a lot of stories about Uganda and the street kids and the mission work and everything, but it must be difficult for you. What are the struggles you go through? You know, you must struggle with stuff. And before my friend could answer, her dad stood up in this great family gathering where he wasn't particularly well received or particularly well liked. And he said, of course, she's had problems. Of course, she struggled. She didn't have a father who could give her what she needed. So of course she struggled. But he then said, I just want you all to know that I am really proud of her. You see, that's the fruit of letting go. That's the fruit of forgiveness. And I'm so grateful my mum taught me to forgive. Do I do it quickly? No, sometimes not, but I know what I need to do. You know, I don't want to carry offense against people. Life's too short. You know, I want to let it go. And really, you know, last week as we were going through this, I could see freedom coming to people's lives. I could see their eyes changing. And I just want to encourage us all that if we're holding offense in our heart, let's let it go. And let's walk in freedom. Let's be like the king who was able to count the cost of what that offense meant to us. Because every offense hurts. Some big time, some not so big time. But let's count that cost. Let's count, you know, let's realize what the offense is. Let's do the hard bit, which is asking the Father for compassion. And then let's let it go so that we can be a people that walk in freedom. And as we do, I think we can help others walk in freedom for themselves. We can help other people who carry offense. We can help them to let it go. The weight of unforgiveness out there is huge. You know, Jack Winter once said, bitterness or unforgiveness is like a poison pill that we swallow, hoping it will kill the other person. The only person who really suffers from unforgiveness or bitterness is the one who's unforgiving. And I want us to be a people who can freely let things go so that this is a place of lightness and freedom that as people come into, they know it's a secure place for them. Because there's so much pain out there because of unforgiveness. And we don't want that same pain to be in here. We want to be a free people. And for me, this is one of the biggest steps of finding freedom. So I just want to encourage you as we finish this morning to, as we leave here, is just to spend some time, maybe this afternoon or this evening or sometime, just on your own, examining your heart. Am I carrying any offense? Am I carrying any offense? Maybe towards your family, maybe towards your work colleagues, maybe even towards someone else here. And if so, just be like the king. Think kingly thoughts. Don't be like the servant who wanted to choke the other person. Be like the king who wanted freedom. Because I think, like my friend's story, and I believe actually, not just think, you know, I really believe, like my friend's story, when we release and let go, it doesn't only change us, but it changes others. So thank you.